2 Corinthians 12. I think it appropriate tonight to deal with this matter in the context of our prayers. It goes toward, I think, a more effective outreach ministry in that regard. If we are able to approach the needs that people have in the same way that God orders them, you and I probably would agree in the fact that when injuries occur or illnesses come, they certainly cannot occur unless God permits it. As to whether or not it would open a discussion as to why does God permit illnesses or injuries of that kind, that's probably for another time where there's more time. But when people are sick, when people are injured, God knows. And not only does he know, but there is a purpose behind it. I know that people sometimes will be very cavalier in trying to brush off things when they happen. So, well, God has a purpose for it. And well, the truth of the matter is he does. But I have you look with me at this place in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Apparently the apostle had a otherworldly experience in those first six verses. And again, that's subject matter for another time. Served as an occasion for revelation given specifically designed for him. But at the seventh verse, we begin our concern tonight. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Exalted above measure. Now that tracks us back through those first six verses. And so let me read for the context. In verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man, and that the way that he phrases that is a demonstration of humility, so that he is not actually naming himself as the person involved. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now that's a pretty fair piece to go. Okay? Up into the third heaven. And if the Apostle Paul is referring to himself, as I believe he is, he's probably one of very few people who have gone that far from earth into the presence of God. But specifically, this is the only place in the Bible that I know of where we know for sure one man did. And just so you might know, that's where you're going. When you talk about, when you look at John chapter 14, we've gone to prepare a place for you. Well, that's where it's at. So get ready. Be ready. He says, with regard to the third heaven, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I have no idea what he could have been referring to there, except to say that there is some indication that Jews will not utter certain words because they believe it to be blasphemy, even sometimes not even wanting to speak the name of God in the fullness of its expression. I don't know exactly what that would be involving, except to say that as he makes this statement, he is the only one, and this would give room for pride in a normal human being, he's the only one that is privy to whatever that communication was. He's the only one in the universe who knows exactly what those words were. Now, think about how the normal person reacts and responds to something that they have been made, have given exclusive access to. No one but that person knows. Typically, pride will enter into that. So here he says in verse 5, of such a one I will I glory, yet not yet of myself. I will not glory, boast, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Now that's a great statement. One is to do one is to be the other. To boast is to be a fool. Okay? For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now, I can't swear to this either. I don't know for sure. I can just pass on to you what others have surmised about the physical stature of the Apostle Paul. Some say he was not a King David in terms of his appearance. All right, he was, if we could say, homely, maybe because of a disfigurement, or maybe because that's just the way God made him, and God makes homely people. Again, when you factor in human psychology and a person is like that, sometimes those kind of people or people in those circumstances will resort to anything to elevate themselves. Anything at all to elevate themselves. So with that all said, his wish is, I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. In other words, Paul is wanting, what you see is what you get. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't wish to be anything more than what you see or what you hear about. And he begins, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Again, considering the exclusive nature of where he's been, what he's heard, and what he's bringing back. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, how many times have you heard that expression used by people when they are in disarray? So-and-so is a real thorn in my back, you know, or such-and-such is a real thorny issue to me, something on that line. And so Paul's saying, there was given to me, please notice, given, a thorn in the flesh. And please notice the next line that comes with that, a messenger of Satan. To what end now is this thorn? To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul is saying that no matter what I may know, no matter where I've been, no matter what I may accomplish going forward, this thorn is always going to dog me, and it is there for the purpose to remind me that pride hath no place in the heart of a human being when something has been given him by God. And he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now here's where we talk about praying. And again, it harkens back to his infirmities. This thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And what is he referring to? The thorn. Three times he prayed. Now I'm not going to say to you to make your prayer protocol three strikes and you're out. I don't say that to you. Like, you know, okay, if somebody gives you a prayer request, or you have a prayer request, personal, and you ask God once, and you ask Him again, and then you ask Him a third time, and if there's not any apparent resolution, okay, I'm done with it. I don't need to pray about it anymore. God already knows it. We'll leave it to Him. Maybe that's a good way to do it. I don't know. I'm not saying to you that that's the way it should be. All I'm telling you here and sharing with you is that this is what the apostle did. I asked the Lord three times that thorn would be removed. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that's God's strength being made perfect in human weakness. So again, that comes back to purpose again. Paul has a problem. He has an infirmity. He has a thorn in the flesh. And now when he asks that it might, from his heart's desires that infirmity, that thorn would be removed, would make life a lot easier. But the plan of God is twofold. Number one, it's a pride inhibitor. Number two, it is an opportunity. This infirmity that he's being buffeted by is an opportunity to exalt God. And so whenever you put sickness in that context, when you put personal infirmities in that context, it does provide for a couple of things. Yes, it comes with a purpose. God has a purpose for everything. Yes, He does. But nothing will happen to you. This thorn could not have happened to Paul unless God permitted it. Whether or not, whether or not this was one of those Job-like insertions of satanic activity or not, I do not know. All I can say is that the thorn is likened unto a messenger of Satan. In the same way that Job got a few messages from Satan, did he not? But that didn't happen, couldn't happen unless God permitted it to happen. And why would he do that? It provided Job an opportunity to exalt God. Provided him that opportunity. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, he says, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Most gladly. Now, that is not just a bland statement without, can I say it? That's not a fatalistic expression of just resignation, because it comes then with the rest of the statement that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That goes back to the previous statement, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So there comes a therefore in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I have never said that. I've not come to that high ground yet. Have you? Anybody here come here? I haven't got there. I don't find any pleasure in it at all. I don't. Sorry, Lord. I just don't. Paul was able to say, I take pleasure in infirmities. Maybe if I'd have been where Paul was, heard what Paul heard, and lived to tell about it, I might be singing a different song about infirmities. But right now, I've not been there. But he says, I take pleasure in infirmities. In reproaches. That's different than infirmities. In necessities. In persecutions. In distresses. For Christ's sake. It seems to me that when you look at verse 10, there's a little grocery list of things that are attached to the thorn. Not only the thorn in the flesh to inflict the infirmity, the physical pain, but all these other things that come along with it. The reproaches, the necessities, persecutions, distresses. For it says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That is there's a fancy word for that, an oxymoron. Maybe that ain't the right term. It works for me. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Some folks were actually rubbing his infirmities in. Some people were actually taking the occasion to attack his apostleship because of the persecutions and the afflictions he was suffering, assuming that if you were all that you said you are, all you claim to be, then why are these things happening to you? Why are these things happening to you? Truly, says in verse 12, the signs of an apostle were wrought or worked out among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so he says all that, and he leads up to this 12th verse to speak to the people who were mercilessly just attacking him, could not understand why someone who had been such a blessing to them was being attacked so viciously by them, simply because of the way he looked and simply because of the things that were happening to him. If he were living in the will of God, if he were living for God, these things wouldn't be. God wouldn't let these things happen to him. Well, let me just tell you now and put it in the context of prayer. You bring the names of people for prayer, as well you should. God would have us pray for the sick. That's a good thing to do. But sometimes it is not God's will to intervene and redirect human infirmity. Sometimes it is not. It depends and is designed, and some things only God knows, designed for a specific purpose. No matter what that purpose is, it will always meet at the tributary of God's glory, designed to exalt Him in it. So if you and I fall sick, or if we suffer an injury, keep that in mind. Yes, God has a purpose for it. There's a reason for it all. But are we willing to concede that it would not happen unless God permitted it? And if you have a problem with that, then probably the only person you'll be able to ask is when you see the party face to face. Lord, you know. And listen, if you look left and right of you, in front of you far enough and behind you far enough, there are a lot of people that you look at who are suffering so horribly tonight. I mean horribly. Children, their parents, old people are suffering horribly. And you say, you know, that just doesn't seem to be right, fair. And yet, when we bow the knee and we surrender our hearts, we must understand that God makes no mistake. He makes none. And we come to a place in our human understanding where we maybe reach the end of our human comprehension, and we must then concede everything to God. Lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him and let Him direct our paths. So I'll give you some thought tonight as you pray for people. Yes, you would like God's will for them, but are you prepared to leave it with God if He decides to leave them in their infirmity? Here's where we come with that. Dear Heavenly Father, bless your people tonight and help us, dear Heavenly Father, to, with a deep and profound sense of great faith, engage you at the throne of grace for Jesus' sake and in His name. Amen.